Hey, how about it, race fans? It's Richard Allen of InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com coming at you with another edition of the Weekend Podium, where I summarize what I think were the top three racing stories of the past weekend. And I've been a little sporadic with these things through the winter because there hasn't always been a lot of racing on the weekends to talk about, but I think we're now ready to be back in the full swings. We got Georgia, Florida Speed Weeks going on right now, and I'm actually on my way back home from the Golden Isle Speedway in Brunswick, Georgia, where I witnessed the opening weekend for the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series. They had three races down there, three great races, and I'll say the Golden Isle Speedway really held up its end of the bargain. It put on some great shows the first night, Thursday night. Four different leaders in a 40-lap race before Devin Moran got the win. Then on Friday night had Brandon Overton winning, and Saturday night Overton followed it up with another win. And in all three of the cases, you had race winners who did not start on the pole and lead every lap. There were lead changes in every race, and in every one of those three races, the outcome as far as who was going to win was not really determined until very late in the race. As a matter of fact, on Saturday night, when he had 15,000 on the line, Moran had chased Overton down and had actually gotten to the outside of him, was looking to make a move before a late race caution came out. Then after that caution, Overton was able to hold on and keep the win. But three things I'm going to talk about here. First of all, I've kind of already touched on, is the dominance really of Overton and Moran in all three of the races at Golden Isles. And going to just carry that into my thoughts on Longhorn Chassis, which came out of the gate really strong. And then lastly, talk about the droop rule that's now being employed by the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series, which certainly played a role in this past weekend as well. But I'm going to start off with Brandon Overton and Devin Moran. I don't think anybody's surprised that those two guys came out of the gate with a lot of speed, but maybe even how much speed might be just the only real surprise. Moran was a fast qualifier and a heat race winner each of the three nights. He started on the front row on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. As I said earlier, parlaying that Thursday night effort into a race win, a $10,000 win that he got there. Then he wound up on the podium all three nights as well. And Overton, which I'll get to in a minute, Overton set fast time on Thursday night and then had his car fall out of compliance with the droop rule and wound up having his time disallowed, which put him at the back of a heat race, and he wasn't able to make much ground up in the heat race. Started kind of mid-pack in the B main, unable to come through the field in the B main. Actually wound up missing the feature. I mean, who had that on your opening race weekend bingo card that Brandon Overton would miss a feature? But he did. And, like I said, Moran went on to win, but then Overton came back with a vengeance on Friday and Saturday, getting to win in both of those features, picking up 12,000 on Friday and 15,000 on Saturday. So great performance by those two guys. It looks like if we're going to follow Speed Weeks all the way through, I don't see any reason why those guys won't be in contention to win virtually every race because they've got great speed. Overton, of course, as we know, was just great all year last year. Devin Moran is I think, historically fast starter in these Speed Weeks races, and he's certainly off to that same type of style again this year as well. And then kind of transitioning from those two guys who both drive Longhorn chassis, the Longhorns, man, they were just outstanding at Golden Isles. You had not only those two guys getting feature wins, Kyle Larson driving the K&L Rumley car for Kevin Rumley was a fast qualifier twice. As a matter of fact, set the track record for Golden Isles on Saturday. He was a heat race winner a couple of times as well, I believe. Started on the front row on both Thursday and Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. He led laps. So even though he doesn't have a tremendous amount of experience in late models, and certainly not compared to the guys he's racing against, he never fails to impress when he's out there. Now, he did have some trouble on Friday night. He had a little bit of a mishap right there in the early part of the race, did some damage to the left front of the car and wound up having to drop out because of that. But otherwise, on the podium on Thursday and Saturday. So tremendous effort by Kyle Larson. But not only him, Tim McCready was a heat race winner a couple of times. And the kind of rejuvenated Earl Pearson Jr. back in a Longhorn and back running up front and racing for podiums. So he's doing extremely well. Also, got an interview that I did with Earl earlier in the week here, and we'll be running that sometime here in the near future, talking about his resurgence and his reunification with Longhorn and how that's gone for him. But Longhorn chassis, just outstanding. I did a story, which is currently on InsideDirtRacing.com, with Tyler Bruning, who drives the Capitol, and kind of congratulated him on breaking up the Longhorn Parade. He wound up fifth two nights in a row, Friday and Saturday, kind of got in the way of Longhorn just entirely dominating the top five positions there. So they have clearly done their homework over the winter. They had a great season last year, but that said, I never ever count Rocket Chassis out, because they, you know, they're always going to be tough as well. You know, Brandon Shepard's going to win his share of races. Hudson O'Neill had moments where he looked very good in his Rocket as well. You know, of course, also there are other other Rocket drivers who are going to be tough. So they're not. They're certainly not dead in the water. They'll win their share of races. As I think Capitol looks awfully good, and as Bruning said, he tried some experimental things on Friday night, and it worked for him. He came up through the field, and also looked strong on Saturday as well. And then the third thing I was going to talk about, besides Overton and Moran looking good, and all the Longhorns looking good for that matter, is the Droop Rule. Droop Rule, if you don't know, started by Ray Cook back in 2018. Its initial purpose was to limit the amount of vertical movement on the left rear of dirt late model chassis. Ray felt like that the cars were getting to the point where the left rear was so far separated from the left rear axle that it was leading to rollover crashes, particularly on the rougher tracks. And so Ray instituted the use of a chain that would hold the body to the left rear axle housing to limit that travel. And what happens, that rule was then employed last year by the World of Outlaws Morton Building Late Model Series as well. Not necessarily for the same reason. They instituted it more as an aid to technical inspections, I think, but also with the side benefit of safety as well. And with the two different national tours, the World of Outlaws and the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series, taking steps toward unification of the rules, Lucas has instituted it this year. And the way it works, and I posted a video on Twitter and had a couple of different articles that explained it, the tech director for Lucas, Steve Francis, will take each of the higher qualifying cars as they come off the track, and he jacks up the rear of the car until the rear wheels are not touching the ground. He has a little device, as I pointed out. It kind of looks like something you'd use in a pizza kitchen to move the pizzas in and out of the oven. But he slides that under the rear tires to make sure they're not on the ground, and then measures the rear deck down to the ground from there. And the series rule says that they can be no more than 50 inches between the rear deck and the ground. Lucas Oil allows for a 1-inch tolerance there. So really it's 51 inches from the rear deck to the ground. On Thursday night, after Overton had set the fast time, he was found out of compliance with the droop rule. There was more than a 50-inch space between the rear deck and the ground of his car, and the ground. And he explained later, and I wrote a story about it from his post-race interview, that he just quite simply forgot. He was in the process of changing out some shocks and had accounted for the way Lucas was going to measure the distance in his shop. He had prepared for that, but then when it came down to it and he switched out some shocks right before qualifying, he put on a left rear shock that just wasn't set up and wound up, he took full responsibility for it, saying that he knew the rule and just blew it when it came to that, and that wound up being very costly to him. And I think, you know, for anybody who might claim all their, you know, playing favorites or whatever, Earl Pearson Jr., who is sponsored by Lucas Oil, also failed the droop test on Thursday. So you certainly can't accuse Lucas Oil, the Lucas Oil series, of playing favorites if the car that's sponsored by their sponsor also failed the test. So it was interesting. I didn't notice any other. I was right there post-qualifying at the Lucas Oil trailer and didn't notice that there was any other car that had an issue the entire rest of the weekend. So I think now the series has established that they are going to check it and they're serious about it. So I don't see it being an issue. And in my opinion, you know, I know a lot of people like to hate on the droop rule. I just don't. I'm not a mechanical person, so I don't really get that much into the mechanics of how things work, but it's just pure and simple. As Overton said, it's the rule, and if that's what they want done, then that's what's going to get done. So I don't see much need of complaining about it. And if safety is part of the equation, then to me, I don't see how you can argue with that. Safety's never a bad thing. Increasing the safety for the drivers is never a bad deal. And if it helps with the technical inspection process, then I don't see a problem with that either. So, you know, like I said, it's the rule, and everybody knows the rule, and everybody in the pit area has a jack, and everybody in the pit area has a tape measure. So everybody knows what's expected, and as the season goes on, they'll figure out how to comply. So I don't see an issue there. But anyway, those are my three stories. The fact that Overton and Moran, I really think to nobody's surprise, those two guys were fast right out of the gate. And being Longhorn drivers, my second part of the weekend podium was just how strong Longhorn was here in the early going. And then finally, talk about the droop rule. So I appreciate you taking the time to give this a listen. I, as always, appreciate Michael Moats, my partner, appreciate that you take the time to visit our website and read the stuff that we put on there and view the photos that we put on there as well. So thank you all very much, and I look forward to seeing you at the racetrack, and I look forward to a great upcoming 2022 season. But we will see you at the track. This is Richard Allen, InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com, saying have a great week.